Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Of guys named Ed and Fred went fishing for the first time in their lives. They went out and bought themselves a couple of rods and reels, went down to the lake and rented a boat at the boat rental place, and rowed out to a likely place for fish and let down their anchor. They'd read enough about fishing and used common sense to know how to bait their hooks and how to cast their lines, and after a few practice casts, they settled into catching fish. And they had a great day. They caught a lot of fish. It seemed that just about every time their line hit the water, a fish hit the line. They caught so many fish that they were getting really excited. But eventually it started getting dark, and they needed to get the boat back to the rental place and head home. Fred went to the back of the boat and began hauling in the anchor. When he turned around to see Ed pull out a jackknife and start carving an X in the bottom of the boat, Fred said, "What do you think you're doing?" Ed looked up and replied, "I'm marking this spot so we can find it again." His friend growled, "Don't be dumb, Ed. That won't do any good. What happens if we get a different boat?" We find a fishing story here in John where many fish were caught. Peter, James, and John, however, were a lot smarter than these guys as far as fishing goes. They made their living from fishing. In their past, they were professional fishermen. Peter had failed. After being one of Christ's closest followers for over 3 years, he denied the Lord 3 times, denied ever knowing him. We all fail the Lord in life. But John 21 is so comforting in knowing that though we fail, the Lord's love never fails. And he treats us with kindness, with grace, and forgiveness when we fail. In his mercy, like Peter, Christ restores. He wants us to keep moving forward and serving him. He wants us to realize through our stumbling and failures that we can't live in our own strength. He wants us to realize that we need him. And he wants us to learn from our failures and grow and pursue after righteousness and godliness in his strength. John 21, 1-4 reads, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, 'I go a-fishing.' They say unto him, 'We also go with thee.' They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." After his second appearance to the disciples in the upper room, Matthew 28:16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." So they made the journey from Jerusalem to Galilee into a certain mountain and are there waiting for him. They're by the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is surrounded by mountains. Verse 2 says, 7 disciples were together and saw this post-resurrection appearance of Christ. Only 5 of the 7 are identified. Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, which were James and John. Then there were 2 other unnamed disciples present. Including this one, Peter is always listed first in all the lists of the apostles, indicating his leadership of the group. And here we see Peter's leadership evident in how he took the lead and wanted to go fishing. And then the other 6 followed and went with him. Peter said, "I go a-fishing." And the other 6 said, "That's a good idea. Wait for us. We're coming too." They had all been waiting and looking for the Lord's arrival. And Peter decided to pass the time by fishing, his former livelihood. and the other disciples joined him. The apostles were in a state of limbo, you could say here, not sure what to do, and they're not sure when the Lord would come, so they returned to something familiar to them. But there was probably even more than a one-time fishing excursion on their minds here. They were waiting for the Lord, but he hadn't appeared. They were all feeling like failures as apostles. When it came down to the crisis point, they had all bailed, they had all failed, they had all ran, forsake the Lord, and hid, locked themselves in the upper room out of fear. And so out of their feeling of failure, being impatient also, having a wavering faith, Peter's thought process and that of the other disciples might have been, I'm going back to the one thing I know how to do well. I'm going fishing. In other words, permanently, as his livelihood. And the others said, we're going too. And it's also difficult for guys to be close to water without thinking about fishing and for the whoppers that we might be missing out on in that water too. These disciples then immediately go and jump in a boat and took off out into the Sea of Galilee and began fishing. They fished at night. To stay cool during the day, the fish migrated to waters too deep to reach with nets. So fishermen with nets, like the apostles, had to fish at night when the fish were near the surface. Their excitement at fishing, however, turned disappointing quick and went unrewarded as they caught nothing, verse 3 says. Now, I apply that verse often when I go fishing. That often happens to me. Early in the morning, as dawn was breaking, the Lord was standing on the shore, arriving just as he said he would. But the disciples do not recognize the Lord, verse 4 says. And this may have been because of the distance. According to verse 8, we learn they were about 100 yards from shore. Or it may have been because it was the break of day and because of the lack of light in the early morning. Or it may have been another instance when the Lord kept others from recognizing him after his resurrection, which he had done before with the two on the road to Emmaus and with Mary Magdalene. John 21, 5-9 reads, Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. The Lord calls out to the disciples, Children! The term is an affectionate address. Speaks to the family relationship, belonging to the Lord as his children. The title children also carries the sense of undeveloped understanding, as children have, and how the disciples still had things to learn. The Lord asks, Have you any meat? Or have you caught anything to eat? And that was a blow to their pride. Unsuccessful fishermen are a little sensitive to being asked about their fishing. So out of their disappointment, they answer with a simple one-word reply, no. And then the Lord gives them a bit of advice. Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. This would have required them to swallow their pride, being frustrated at their lack of success throughout the night. Now a stranger on the shore telling them how to do better. But they do not protest. Besides, one more cast, we always think that one more cast will do it. And they thought, one more cast couldn't hurt. And they obey his instruction. Casting the net again into the sea was an object lesson to Peter and the disciples. The Lord was in effect asking them, try again, even though you failed. That was an important lesson for Peter, not to allow past failure to keep him from serving the Lord. And God also doesn't want us to allow past failure to keep us from following Him, to keep us from serving Him. He wants us to keep working, keep following by faith. The disciples' obedience to the Lord was rewarded. The net became taut and full of fish, and a great load of fish fills the net so that they weren't even able to draw it or land all the fish. It was so heavy and so full they couldn't even haul it into the boat. As Lord, Creator, God, Christ caused those fish to be on that right side of the boat where the disciples could pull them into their nets. But the disciples had been in this situation before. They had spent a wasted night on the Sea of Galilee fishing when they caught nothing. Then in the morning, Christ instructed them to recast their nets. And the same thing had happened. Their obedience netted them a record catch. When that miracle happened the first time, the Lord was calling them to follow Him, and those fish represented people they would catch for Christ's earthly kingdom if they did follow Him. This second time was the Lord calling them to continue following Him after His resurrection, in spite of their past failure, and still the message was that through their ministries for the Lord, they could catch and would catch people for the kingdom of heaven on the earth. As they were trying to haul the loaded net of fish in, the light went on for John. John referred to himself again in his gospel, not by name, but as that disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, remembering the same occurrence at the beginning of Christ's ministry 3 years earlier, and realizing the miracle that had just happened. John knows it has to be the Lord, and John tells Peter, it's the Lord. John was the first to recognize Him, but Peter, a man of action, was the first to act. Peter, it says, was naked as he was fishing, which can mean simply poorly dressed or stripped of his outer garment, meaning he may have been stripped down to his loincloth for work, but he wanted to be appropriately dressed to greet the Lord. When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he didn't say, "We'll see Him in a moment, as soon as we row ashore." Instead, just hearing John's words, he doesn't even look for himself to the shore to see if it's true. Instead, Peter immediately grabbed his outer fisher's garment and threw it on himself, and then threw himself into the Sea of Galilee and swam to the shore. His enthusiasm in wanting to be with the Lord as quickly as possible showed how much he loved his Savior and how exciting it is to be in His presence. And that's true for you and I, too, who have trusted Him as our Savior. It is exciting to think about being with the Lord one day. Out of his excitement, Peter swam the 200 cubits, or 100 yards, to the shore, while the rest followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish to land. The disciples couldn't pull the net into the boat, even with all of them trying with all of their might, so they ended up just rowing and dragging the net into shore. When Peter and the disciples in the boat got to shore, they all saw Christ had prepared breakfast for them. And they saw a charcoal fire with fish and bread cooking over it. And it is very important to note that Christ prepared a fire of coals. In John 18:18 and 25, as Peter had followed Christ to the trial at Annas's and Caiaphas's home, it says, "And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not." This fire of coals prepared by the Lord is a deliberate reminder of Peter's failure in Caiaphas's courtyard, which also occurred around a charcoal fire. It makes you wonder what Peter was thinking when he saw it and how that might have cut right to his heart. John 21:10-14 reads, Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. The Lord told the seven disciples to bring some of the fish they had caught so they could be cooked with the others that the Lord was cooking. Peter then by himself went to the net and drug it onto shore. Now it had taken six of the disciples to row it and drag it in, but Peter by himself went into the water, drug it to the shore, and that tells me that Peter was apparently muscle-bound. Seems like Peter wasn't named the Rock for no reason at all. Verse 11 tells us that the net was not only full of fish, but full of great or large fish, not the puny ones that you throw back. It was full of great fish, and it was a great catch. 153 fish were in that net. Fishermen like to talk about their best outings, and John, a seasoned fisherman, remembered how on this day they caught exactly 153 large fish, and it was because of the Lord. It was the Lord's provision, not by anything that they had done. This was to remind them of their need of the Lord and their ministries, that He brings the fruit. We trust and obey and throw the net, as it were. He gives the increase. After Peter pulled in all the fish, Christ invited them all to come and dine and to have breakfast. Verse 12 says that coming over for breakfast and seeing him, none of them asked who he was because they knew it was the Lord. There was no doubt. None of them asked, Who are you? There is no reason to ask that. They knew who he was. They recognized him. He was really risen from the dead. And this is a fantastic proof text for if we were recognized loved ones in heaven. In the same way, we won't look at them in heaven and say, Who are you? We will know them. We will know our parents, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our loved ones and friends. We will know them all. John 21:15-17 reads, So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. After they had eaten, the Lord turned to Peter. The time had come for Christ to address Peter's deep wound. So after breakfast, the Lord's attention is focused on Peter. Peter had denied the Lord three times, and the Lord asked Peter three times, Simon, lovest thou me? Peter had denied Christ on three occasions, and the Lord was giving an opportunity for restoration at each point. Peter had denied the Lord beside a fire of coals. Now he was being restored by another fire of coals. While the Lord addressed Peter directly, the conversation was public and for the benefit of all the disciples present. His denial was public, his restoration was public. Fishing and shepherding, fish and sheep, become the topic of conversation. The Lord asked Peter, Peter, lovest thou me more than all these? or more than all these 153 large fish laying there in that unbroken net? In other words, these fish, these nets, this boat, this whole enterprise of fishing that you love, do you love me more than these? Do you love me supremely? Was what the Lord was asking. Even more than the fishing that he knew Peter loved. There are two words for love used in these verses. They are the Greek words agape and phileo. Agape is an active, selfless, sacrificial love seeking another's highest good. Phileo speaks of a warm, deep emotional affection like between family members. The word for lovest that the Lord uses in the first two questions is agape. Peter, do you selflessly, sacrificially love me? Or supremely love me, even more than these fish and this fishing enterprise, was the Lord's question. Peter's response was honest. Yes, Lord, you know that I love thee. But his word for love was phileo. So the Lord questioned Peter about his devotion and commitment to him and putting him first before all things, and Peter affirmed his deep affection for the Lord. Christ used the loftiest word for love, and Peter replied, I have a deep affection for you, using a less lofty word for love, but still revealing his heart to the Lord. Peter was being honest. He acknowledged the truth of his love. He replied with genuine distrust of himself. Peter was saying, I don't want to claim agape. I don't want to claim supreme love, but I can claim phileo. If Peter did have a true affection for the Lord, Christ told him, feed my lambs. The word for lambs speaks of little lambs, or the young in age, or the young in the faith, spiritual babes, the tender, the vulnerable, those who needed special attention. Christ wanted Peter to care for his spiritual flock in his absence, and to feed them, tend to them, keep them, be devoted to them, care for them, nourish his lambs in the truth of his word. Verse 16, the Lord asked Peter a second time if he, agape, loved him. And Peter again replied, you know that I, phileo, love thee. And the Lord said, feed my sheep. This word for feed speaks of supervising, overseeing, ruling, watching over. Sheep speaks of any believers, and he's speaking of the little flock of Christ's kingdom church, what it's being applied to, and those at any spiritual maturity level. But notice that believers are the Lord's. They are my sheep, the Lord says. So Peter was to care for those who were the Lord's sheep, those who belonged to him. And realizing that they belonged to the Lord, he was to love and care for them carefully in light of that. He was to treat and lead them as the Lord would lead them, with kindness, grace, patience, and by the truth of God. Then the Lord asked Peter a third time, Simon, lovest, or phileo, love thou me? And Peter was grieved and sorrowful because the Lord asked him a third time about his love and devotion to the Savior, knowing that he had denied the Lord three times. And he was also grieved because this time the Lord came down to Peter's word and questioned even that. Thus Peter was grieved because the Lord asked him using his word for love. He used Peter's word for love, which signified something less than total devotion, questioning even that level of love, which Peter thought he was safe in claiming. Peter appealed to the Lord's omniscience, that he knows all things as God, and that he knows that he, phileo, loved him. And that being true, the Lord said, feed my sheep. Peter is told three times that he could demonstrate his love for Christ by feeding and caring for Christ's sheep, his people Israel, that is. In this threefold question and threefold response, the Lord gently, graciously, kindly restored and pulled Peter from his despondency because of his threefold denial. And through the miracle of the fishes, Christ invited the humbled disciple to recast your net for another miraculous catch. Continue following him, but do it with his help. And Peter did. Peter had failed, but he failed forward. He didn't allow his failure to stop him from serving the Lord. And the Lord used Peter in a mighty way. Christ in his mercy and kindness restores us when we fail. We see here a connection between loving the Lord and serving and caring for his people. And that love is more than just words. We find that the Lord, out of our love for him, wants us to love and serve others, to serve his people. And the passage raises a convicting question. How much do we love him? Put your name in these verses. Make it personal for yourself. What do you say to these questions by the Lord? When we think about the things we love in life, possessions, career, entertainment, hobbies and recreation, what is our answer to the Lord's question? Do you love me more than these? Do we put other things before him? What is your response to the Lord's question? And insert your name in it. Do you agape love or selflessly, sacrificially love me? Do you love me supremely? Or insert your name, do you even have a phileo love or deep affection for the Lord? How would you honestly answer these questions? Can you say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you? Then we should serve him.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.